Thanks again for tuning in for the Book Club at 91.7 here on WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. Glad to have you along on this Saturday morning. And in the studio with me is William E. Plunkett. He is the author of the new book called The G-Man and the Diamond King, a true FBI crime story of the 1930s. Bill Plunkett is a retired FBI officer, special agent, and he is here to talk about this event in 1935 that happened, well, just across the border in Indiana. Bill, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I was fascinated, and I was talking before we went on. It's nice to get a little bit of the history of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and it's interesting that it was so active there in the 1920s and 1930s because the bad guys were very active at that time. It kind of set the scene for what was going on in the country back then.
Well, I think the country was more rural back then, obviously. The FBI was very small, maybe 400, 500 special agents. They didn't have that many crimes that they investigated, but once Director Hoover became the director, that started to change. He got the organization some publicity. Of course, the gangster era, when they captured, killed John Dillinger, Pretty Boy Floyd, Babyface Nelson, the Barker Gang, that obviously made the FBI, made its name, and obviously got more crimes, the Dyer Act, where they investigated auto theft that went across state lines.
And so it was kind of a transition. I was fascinated when reading the book to learn about it. How was the Pinkerton detectives who did a lot of the law enforcement in the rural areas, but then the what was Teddy Roosevelt who established what was first called, was it the Bureau of Investigation or the Department of Investigation?
It was the Bureau of Investigation initially, and then in 1933 the name was changed to United States Bureau of Investigation. Then in 1934 it changed again to the Division of Investigation, where they combined two or three other agencies. And then finally in July of 1935 it was named the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
It was, sadly, when this agent, Nelson Klein, was shot in Indiana, he was the first of the FBI agents, because of the name change, to fall in the line of duty, right?
That's correct. The name was changed in July of 1935, and he was killed in August 1935. In every FBI office around the country, they have what they call a wall of honor. And it's FBI agents that were killed as a result of adversarial action or in the performance of their duties. And Agent Klein is the eighth agent on that list because the organization, as you know, began in 1908. So there were agents killed prior to Nelson Klein.
And it was one of those memorials to the fallen that kind of prompted this book. What made you explore the case of Nelson Klein and the Diamond King?
I did two tours in the Cincinnati office here, and I'd walk by the Wall of Honor, and I'd read the various names and look at their photographs. But I never knew Nelson Klein was assigned to the Cincinnati office. In 2008, a friend of mine who was an FBI agent assigned to the Covington office, which is out of the Louisville division, I was assigned to the Cincinnati division. He had found Nelson Klein's gravesite. The family monument had been knocked over in Evergreen Cemetery in Southgate, Kentucky. And so that prompted the Society of Former Special Agents of the FBI, the Greater Cincinnati Police Museum, the local Cincinnati office to get together to contact the family and add an inscription on the family monument, because in a family monument, all you have is the last name of the family. Mm-hmm. And we added an FBI badge and had a ceremony on the 73rd anniversary of Agent Klein's death, and it was attended by over 100 family, friends, and law enforcement.
I'm speaking with William E. Plunkett, the author of The G-Man and the Diamond King, a true FBI crime story of the 1930s. Bill will be at Books by the Banks, the Cincinnati USA Book Festival, come October 17th. Details about his book and the festival at our website, WVXU.com. Org. Well, introduce us to Nelson Cline, because he was, as I'm reading the G-Man and the Diamond King, we're kind of looking at his performance reviews throughout his career. Was that one of the primary means you had in reconstructing his story?
Yes, because there were limited records to really find out about him. His son he's in his 80s and lives in Florida, and he was interviewed. Unfortunately, he didn't have a whole lot of insight on his father. His mother had never really talked a lot with him, or he never asked the questions about his father. From what I gather, Nelson Cline was a very dedicated special agent of the FBI, a quiet man, a family man, and very dedicated to what he did.
And a very good investigator, too. He was part of some very big cases in his career.
Yes, he worked the Alice Speed Stoll kidnapping case out of Louisville. He worked another murder investigation of Virginia Hurley McPherson out of Washington, D.C. And he worked a famous Labatt kidnapping case out of Canada.
Talk about the Diamond King here. George Barrett, a bad guy if there ever was a bad guy, though his picture belies his evilness,
He sure looks more like a preacher or a businessman or an attorney, or you would never know. But you're right, he was a very bad man. He was involved in all kinds of nefarious activities. From what I gained from research, it seemed like a lot of the women and children really liked him, but the men kind of had figured out his game, I think. He was responsible for, he murdered his mother, and also his sister died as a result of gunshots from him. Yes, he was just a very bad man.
He was, from Clay County, Kentucky, if I remember correctly. And quite, what did you call him, the mountain playboy, I think is what
yes,
he's called
right.
in the book.
He was a playboy. He had a lot of girlfriends, common law wives. I think it's anywhere from eight or more. He had a number of children. I think that probably 8 to 10. He was very busy.
He was. Well, I went through it in your run through. He got married to a woman named Alice, then got divorced from her to marry somebody else, was still married when he took up an affair with somebody who was going to become his third wife, and it went on. And I love the little line you had in the book about how he did a favor to society and women in general by voluntarily becoming sterilized after, what, about his fifth or sixth marriage, I think?
That's correct, right.
It was pretty crazy. So the aspect that brought Nelson Cline and George Barrett together was George Barrett's criminal activity as a car thief. Talk about what he did when it came to transporting those stolen cars across state lines.
He would purchase a legitimate car and then find another car that was similar or the same as that particular car and copy the documents from the legitimate car, and then sell the stolen car that he had stolen, change the serial numbers on the motor, and he would do this more than once. He would use those papers to steal two cars of the similar type and sell them. I think altogether, when I reviewed FBI files, he was being investigated for over 25, 30 stolen vehicles over a period of 3 or 4 years.
And a lot of that was happening here around Cincinnati. Well, actually more up in Hamilton. There was a car dealership there that when Nelson Cline and was going after George Barrett, it was involving a car at a dealership up in Hamilton that had sold him more than one car.
Yes, right. He would steal cars from all over the country and then bring them back to this area and sell them. So he wasn't just operating out of the Cincinnati area.
It's fun looking at the history and some of the stories you tell of the FBI's activities around the Cincinnati area and what this area was like. What was it, you know, as you were doing your research and stepping back in time those 70, 75 years, what did you learn in your research about the city and surrounding area?
The FBI office was located at the U.S. Customs and Post Office, which is where the federal courthouse is located now on Walnut Street between 5th and 6th. The FBI office, they had a squad of agents, probably 12 or so, and the special agent in charge back then would have supervised all the cases. His name was E.J. Conley, whereas a special agent today is more responsible for the oversight of the whole office and investigations. Back then, the SAC actually conducted investigations, did interviews, and assisted in some of the larger kidnapping cases around the country. It wasn't unusual for them to be flown to different cities to assist on the bigger cases.
And that old Custom House, you have a picture of it in a book, and that was quite an edifice.
It was, very interesting. It sort of reminds me of the City Hall, Cincinnati mm-hmm. City Hall. It's about the only building that I could see that has some similarities to the architecture. Very interesting.
So what was most difficult about putting this story together? I mean, you formerly with the FBI, I imagine, you're used to doing things one way, but here you're trying to tell the story in a different way. What challenges did you face when you were writing The G-Man and the Diamond King?
Well, it's so long ago, 80 years now, his anniversary was August 16th of this year, just obtaining the records, I had contacted the United States Attorney's Office over in Indianapolis, because that's where Barrett was tried, over in Indiana, because that's where the crime took place. And they had no longer had their file. I had contacted the FBI, and they indicated that they had destroyed the file. And fortunately, later on, I received the file from the National Archives. I went through any number of newspaper articles, I think over 100 newspaper articles from 17 different newspapers, a number of magazines, 10 magazines, 20 books. And people don't realize that when you request information from the FBI, FOIPA, Freedom of Information Privacy Act request, it usually takes about a year to get the information back.
So not a fast process.
No, not at all.
Well, it's quite an interesting story, and thanks for bringing Nelson Klein and his story back to the forefront with your book. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
William E. Plunkett, the author of The G-Man and the Diamond King, a true FBI crime story of the 1930s, available where books are sold. Bill will be at Books by the Banks, the Cincinnati USA Book Festival, on October 17th at the Duke Energy Convention Center between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Details about his book, The G-Man and the Diamond King, and Books by the Banks, at our website, wvxu.org. This is the Book Club at 91.7.